Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you here today. If you're visiting with us, just want to say thank you so much for being a part of our worship today. My name is Chris Kendall. I'm the pastor here at Concord Church, and just very happy that you're here with us in person, or if you're online with us, we are grateful for your presence here today. You know, I asked a question in service last week that I have to admit I'm a little afraid to ask this morning. And the question was, how many of you still have Christmas shopping to do? Any brave souls want to raise their hand? Oh, we've got a couple. Okay, we'll double down. How many of you have not started your Christmas shopping yet? Okay, I don't see any hands. That's good. That is a whoo. I did see what Milkhouse Meats is open today for your last minute Christmas shopping. So, jerky for everybody for Christmas. Well, today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent, and in addition, it's also Christmas Eve Day. It doesn't happen very often, and in fact, it has only happened three other times since I've been a pastor. So 2023, 2017, 2006, and 2000, actually the very first year, my first Christmas as a pastor. And then the next time that this rare occurrence happens is going to be in 2028. And just so some fun facts for us this morning. But over these last 3 weeks, right, we have been opening up the various gifts of the season of Advent. We have opened up the gift of hope and the gift of peace and the gift of joy. And today is love. You know, in our world today, we often think of love in terms of gifts and cards and romance. And in our text today, John talks a great deal about love, but he defines it differently than we generally do. Now, if you're not aware, there are several different Greek words for love. You know, one means family love. Another word means friend love. A third way talks about a romantic or a physical attraction. And John is not using any one of those terms today. And the word he's using today is agape, which means a self-sacrificing love. And it is the word used most of the time in which the Bible describes the type of love that God wants to see lived out in us. So John zeroes in on this message of love in 1 John, especially for us in chapter 4. And in these verses, 7 through 12, he gives us three motivations for loving other people with this agape style of love, this love that we open up today. And the very first motivation is this, that we should love because God is love. 1 John 4, 7 through 8, it reads, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now notice there are three things I want us to pay attention to here this morning. First of all, John says that love comes from God. Right? The only people who can truly love in this way are people who are born again by the act of God's grace. Right? Those people who know God are able to love in the way that God asks us to love. You know, normally we think that love is simply natural. Now, the truth is, desire is natural. Attraction is natural. But the kind of love that the Bible talks about is supernatural. And normally, we tend to think of love, or the way that we think of love is largely selfish. We are attracted and kind to the people we are drawn to. We have love for those people whom, you know, we receive something back from, or we hope to receive. The kind of love that comes from God sees beyond the surface. It's not conditional in the other person's response. It is anchored to the value that is inherent in the individual as seen through God's eyes. You know, Paul describes this type of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. You know, we don't learn this type of love by attending seminars or reading books or by trying harder. We open the gift of love as we draw closer to God through Christ. Now, secondly, what John says is that God is love. Because I think we need to be careful here. John is not saying that love is God. He's saying God is love. And we don't define God by our definition of love. Instead, we define love by the character of God. Real love is holy and just and perfect, just as God is. If you want to know what true love is, we look at God. Love permeates everything that God does. And then thirdly, that those who are born of God will love others. If God the Father is love, God the Son is love, God the Holy Spirit is love, so if we are of God, we too will be of love. I mean, John's argument is simple. If God's Spirit resides in us, his character and his attitude should influence us. We should begin to reflect the loving outlook that God has himself. And so the second motivation of this, or the second motivation given in John chapter 4, is that the gift of love is the love that we have received through Jesus Christ. Continuing in John 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I mean, incredibly powerful words that John says here. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us. That God has sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. I mean, what an incredible statement for us to be able to make. I mean, this is the epitome of the gospel message. I mean, if you understand this sentence, you understand the message of the gospel. This is the true gift of love, that God is the initiator. That he does not respond because of our love for him, or if we have love for him. God has loved us before we even cared a whit about him. And he shows his love for us in three distinct ways. First of all, God gave his Son. Right? God loved us enough to send his own Son to rescue us. God didn't write a check. He didn't form a relief organization. He didn't send us love notes. He became intimately and personally involved in our predicament. He gave what was most precious to him in order for him to save us from our lostness. And God gave his Son to die. And John says that he sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice. And in John's day, this would have been a very vivid picture. They would have truly understood what this meant. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the highest of high holy days, two goats would be brought forth to the temple, and the first goat would be killed and its blood would be sprinkled on the altar of God. The blood of the first goat was given to satisfy the justice of God. It was the payment to satisfy the justice of God. That sin and rebellion cannot simply be overlooked. That it has to be paid for. It has to be dealt with. But then the second goat would be brought forward, and the sin of the people was confessed as the high priest laid his hands on the goat's head, you know, as if to transfer all the sins of the people upon this goat. And then the goat would be taken out into the wilderness and set free. It was a symbol of sin being removed from the people of Israel. This is the atoning sacrifice. It was a payment that appeased the wrath of a just God, a holy God. Now the problem is that the sacrifices of the Day of Atonement were simply a temporary solution. Right before the day was over, somebody would kick a dog or say something bad or look sideways at somebody else. And the whole process would have needed to be redone. And God sent his Son as the final atoning sacrifice. Jesus was sent to give his life for our behalf. He gave his life to satisfy the demands of justice and to make mercy possible for us. His life was of such value that it paid for all of our past sins, all of our present sins, all of our future sins. For anybody who would entrust their future, their lives with him. And God did not simply send his Son to teach us or to show us the way. He sent Christ to pay the penalty for our sins and to die a death that he did not deserve. He sent Christ to remove the barrier that existed between us and a holy God. And God gave his Son to die for sinners. He gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He did not send his Son into the world because we were good people who needed help. He did not send his Son into the world because we were trying hard, but we just simply couldn't achieve God's standard. God sent his Son into the world in spite of who we were. You know, sin is not a mistake we make. It is an act of rebellion against a holy God. And we will never truly understand the love of God until we understand the nature of sin. We will not understand the wonder of the atoning sacrifice until we grasp the horror that is needed to be atoned for. And once we grasp the horror of our sin, we will be overwhelmed with the depth of God's love. And not only will we be stunned by God's grace, we will want to love and serve and honor him for the rest of our lives. You know, the final motivation for love is this, that we should love because it reveals God's love to the world. In verse 12 of John 4, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You know, Jesus told Philip in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And this it should be true of every follower of Christ, that when people see us, they should see a reflection of him. When they see how we treat one another, they should see this example of agape love, the type of love that God puts within us. You know, our lives should be like sunlight shining through the trees. And if God's Spirit is living within us, his influence should be so great that we can't help but shine. And if God is truly residing within us, it should come bursting out. And everybody should be able to see that. And if we want to learn how to love each other, right, we first need to look at ourselves. We need to see how unworthy of this love we truly are. We need to look at Jesus. We need to see the way that he loved others and the way that he loved us. We need to see that God loved us in spite of who we are. And then and only then will we be able to look at others in a proper light. And John wants us to understand that love for each other begins in the household of faith. That if we cannot or will not love those people of our own family, how are we ever going to love the world? But if we choose to deny ourselves, to take up his cross and to follow after him, his love that flows out of us because of that choice, his love that flows out of us will give evidence that God is in us. And perhaps if we do this, others will also then be willing to turn away from their sins, to recognize that the baby in the cradle is the Savior of the world, that they would trust the love of God given to us in Jesus Christ and be willing to live in the power of his Spirit. Let us pray together. Lord God, we are grateful for this example of love that you give to us. Lord, a love that does not demand prepayment, a love that does not depend upon conditions, but a love that is freely given. Lord, your words in Romans chapter 5, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that Christ died for us while we are still sinners. Thank you, God, that we did not deserve this gift. We did not earn this gift. But you freely gave us this gift. Thank you once again, dear God, that love is not an emotion or a feeling, but that love is a person. May we see Jesus a bit clearer this Christmas season. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. You know, there is a saying that, you know, all grown-ups would say when you're children, you know, they'll say, you know, when you get older, it's so much more fun to give than it is to receive. And as a child, you think, that's baloney, right? You know, I like the presents. I like the unwrapping of the gifts. And then we get older and we find out it's true. You know, that when we give these gifts, when we give gifts, it's special, it's important, it's powerful. You know, God gave us the single greatest gift. He gave us his son. You know, this the son of God who left the perfect confines of heaven to come and dwell with us, to be one of us. And thanks be to God for this incredible gift. And may we understand the love that God had for us as he gave us Jesus. And not only that, may we understand the type of love that he calls us to live as sons and daughters of God. Let's pray. Again, dear God, we are grateful for your love for us. Help us, dear God, to mimic you. Help us, dear God, through your Holy Spirit, to live the type of love that you call your sons and daughters to live. Jesus, help us to love the people around us so much that they will see you living within us and that they would come looking for you. Now, here we are, dear God. Please use us. Use us as you see fit. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Look forward to seeing you 4, 6, or 8 o'clock tonight.